Morning.
Morning.
We're doing prayer requests. Let's go ahead and bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this beautiful weather. We ask blessings upon us and ears to hear and a heart that understands and desires to grow deep roots. We ask you to be with your brothers and sisters throughout this world. We ask these things as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we're in Matthew's 13. As we heard in 12, we heard that there was one greater than a temple in that area. And as we also heard in 12 that as they were here it is. When they said his mother and his brothers wanted to speak to him, he said, "Those who wish to hear and understand are my mothers and brothers and sisters." So as we understand that, go over to 13 here. That day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. That, to me, is this pretty amazing view if you just kind of think about that. He's sitting probably not too far from the shore, but so they can hear him. This whole shore, and almost like sand, you know, these number of people out there just trying to listen to what he has to say. And he spoke many things to them in parables. Okay, what's parables? Well, parables are, it's a simple story to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson. It's just like explaining into a story instead of just coming out and saying how it is. He's going to tell it in a story. He says, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell in a rocky place, and fell in a rocky place where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprung up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, and some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." We'll go explain this a little bit more as Jesus explains it, and I'm going to kind of go into a little bit of depth into that too as Jesus explains it later on here. "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?'" As we understand, parables are a story. Why do you tell them a story instead of just telling them it? "Jesus answered them, 'To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundancy. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says," I want to stop right there before we go into that, and let's look at the word of understanding. The definition of the word of understanding is to perceive the intended meaning, a word, a language, or the speaker who's speaking to you. To interpret what is being spoke to you, or view something in a particular way. You know, if we stop and think about the parable, Jesus is talking about the parable, to understand that, they would need to have the ability to not think about the way that they were living their life at that particular time. The law, he was telling them, there's something greater than the law. It is I'm here. And if you listen to me, you'll learn, you'll understand. So understanding was to perceive what he was saying. So with a little bit of understanding of that, we can now look at what Isaiah was saying. You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the hearts of these people have become dull. Okay, I would like to stop there a little bit and talk about that. They have become set in their ways. They have knew all understanding is what they thought. Oh, well, he's speaking something different, and I'm just not really going to understand it. I want to kind of put it into a different way. Like, I'm sure there's times when your parents ask you to do something, and as they were explaining to go do something, you heard the first part, but you didn't listen to the ending of what they were saying, and so you went off to go do what you thought the first part was. You thought you understood, but without fully understanding. And so when you accomplished what you thought you accomplished, what they wanted to do, was not the whole thing. So therefore, you did not understand. Your heart had become dull to listening. Your ears had become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire... Oh, yeah. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see, and to hear what you hear and did not hear. That is so true. My heart desired to see what they saw and hear what they hear. What wonderful things. But then I questioned, would I have full understanding? Would I be one of the ones that listened, or would I be one of the ones that already hardened my heart and didn't listen because I thought I knew it already, or I thought that this man was speaking something that was totally different than what I was taught, and I was not attentively listening to find out what he really meant. Then it goes to an explanation of the sower. Hear then the parable of the sower. When everyone hears the word of a kingdom and does not understand it, which is an interpretation of what the speaker is speaking, and that becomes either you're wanting to hear or you made your mind up and you didn't want to hear. The evil one comes and snatches away what had been sown in his heart. This is the one who, on whom seed had was sown beside the road. So when the seed was sown beside the road, Satan came, and the evil one came and snatched it away. They never understood and never fully listened. But one on whom seed was sown on a rocky place, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporal. And when afflictions and persecutions arise because of a word, immediately he falls away. There's some different words that we could go into, but I don't want to confuse you. But just think of the root of a plant. The plant gets nutrients from the root, and it holds firm onto the soil. And if it doesn't have a firm hold, then things around it, like the wind or a flood that comes through, could easily just remove it. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns. This is the man who hears the word, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of the wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. When it was sown in, the things of the world, the things that can attract the eye, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh, those things will pull you away from the understanding and teachings of Christ. Those things are going to be a stumbling block for you. And it's up to you to learn how to overcome those things. To either you go after the desires of the world, and there you walk away from the teachings and understandings and walking in righteousness, or you stay firm with roots in the soil, and you stand strong with what you understand and what you are growing with. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is a man who hears the word and understands it. Who indeed bears fruits and brings forth some 100, or yeah, some 100, some 60, and some 30. This is a long chapter, and I'm going to just break it off there, because we could go into a lot more depth on the other parables, but I'll let someone else do that. I want you boys to talk about a time when you thought you heard someone, but you've already predetermined what they were asking. Let's use it as a question. Someone was asking you a question, and you heard the first part of the question, and you automatically just knew what that question was being asked, but you didn't fully listen. So I want you to come up at a time and tell us about, and then what you learned from it, that you didn't listen and that you learned from that. And then older boys, I'm going to give you a little bit of a challenge. As you're in a parable about the sower of the seeds, describe to me what soil is in the roots. I want you to give us a description of how does it make a difference when he said some of it fell on rocks, and some of it fell on a road. The road could be either, well, you know, back at the time it probably wasn't concrete, but it was probably more solid rock put together, and how it wasn't prepared. And what's the meaning of the roots? Why did he even describe roots in that? So that's going to be a challenge for the other boys. Are there any questions? Alright, go ahead. And here.
We're supposed to get a verse out of Matthew 12, 30, 31, or 32. And I got 30, and he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters.
Matthew 12:30. He who does not love me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters.
Okay, we're supposed to be. Describe what verses 36 and 37 out of Matthew 12 mean, or what they can mean to us, whatever. So Matthew 12, 36 and 37. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give accounting for it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So I found a verse about how you might be condemned by your words. So it's in Matthew 5, verse 22. 21, too. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go to the fire of hell. So that verse describes how you might be condemned by your words. And then try to find one how you might be justified by your words. But I looked around some, but in Matthew 6, right after he says the Lord's Prayer, right after that in verse 14, it says, "For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." So if you use your voice to forgive other people, be nice, and encourage others, then by your words you might be justified.
I thought we were supposed to just get a thought about one of the verses, but so I got a thought about verse 37, "For by your words you will be condemned, and by your words you will be justified." I think I mixed them up, but anyway. And I thought, well, that's quite a deal in the end times when we're standing there. All of our words and whatever we said will be written down, and they'll either be used to justify us or condemn us.
He said that for every idle word that men may speak, it will, let's see, it says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they'll give account of it in the day of judgment." And it's like if you say just like silly or worthless things or things that might hurt other people, then you will have to give account for it in the end times.
If we're just saying things that don't need to be said and be careless about how we're talking or saying things bad about our brothers or whatever, we'll have to give an account for that on the day of judgment. And so this week I was working at watching what I was saying.
If we are careless what we say, then it can get us into a lot of trouble, or we can use what we say to help people and encourage them.
"But I tell you, every careless word that people speak, they will give accounting for it in the day of judgment." Just ain't got to talk all the time. And ain't, Uncle David, I've heard Uncle David Moore say it more than once, "You ain't got to always put your 2 cents into everything." I don't know if that's the correct meaning or explanation of that, but you ain't always got to talk, and you keep your mouth shut every now and then.
Verse 36, that every you be justified by the word you say. I get angry pretty quick and say things I shouldn't. I just need to work on that. Is I ain't going to be able to blame anybody else in the day of judgment. It's all on me and what I say and what I do. Now it's not anybody else's fault. It's mine.
I didn't plan, I thought about this lesson a lot and considered it, but I didn't really plan what I was going to say because one of the reasons is because it seems like I like to talk a lot about this. Think I know everything, and I'm not down talking myself. I'm just saying how it is. I tend to use my speech to exalt myself a lot and think I'm real brilliant and everything. But I realized that, and even in my thoughts, I need to think about things without any vanity. And what I mean by that is just think about it and consider things and look at them and look at what's right and what I need to do and how I need to be living. And that's also with my speech. I need to use my words wisely. And I know a lot of things. I understand with my mind a lot of things, but to actually do it and make it happen, that takes a lot of wisdom and patience. And when I stand before God at the end of my life, I'm not going to give an account, or I'm not going to be able to say, "Lord, I could explain everything, and I sounded good, and I thought I knew everything." I'm gonna have to tell God I knew all these things, but I didn't do them the way I should have. if that's how I end up, God forbid. But I think with all of us, we can all agree that it's how we live, and it's not how we speak necessarily, but our words, words have their place if they're used properly.